Luke chapter number 24 tonight. We'll read several verses to get started here. Luke 24. We'll start verse number 13. Luke 24, verse number 13. Is there with me, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says here, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus from Jerusalem, about 3 score furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way, and how it was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you. We thank you so much tonight for loving us, as we've already mentioned, how deep the Father's love truly is. Lord, we'll never be able to fathom it, but God, we're thankful for it. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. I pray you would, Lord, fill me with your spirit, hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray I'd say nothing that does not need to be said, but God, help me to say everything that does. Above all things, we pray the name of Jesus to be lifted up in here tonight. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due your holy name, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Several days ago, really over the last several weeks, but particularly several days ago, I believe we were at home one night, and I began to talk to my wife about some things concerning the ministry and concerning particularly the church and things going on here. We're just praising the Lord together and just sharing some things with her that the Lord had put on my heart. And began to share with her about some things that we've seen God do just in the last days, in the last weeks, the last months. And man, God's really at work, and we thank the Lord for what he's doing. But I began to share with her how that my desire that Crossroads Baptist Church would continue to be soul conscious and a soul winning church, and that we would always be reaching out. Can I tell you tonight, we hadn't arrived. We still got a lot of work to do. We haven't come to the place where we're going to quit, but we got to keep pressing on and keep pressing toward the mark for the cause of Christ. I don't want to ever just go through the motions. But as exciting as it's been seeing people come to Christ, and that we'd see people eventually every single week, we see people saved quite often, but we'd see every week had come a time where every single week somebody walked the aisle or several walked the aisle, and listen, God's still able, the gospel's still able, and listen, there's people all around us dying and going to a devil's hell. Somebody needs to tell them about Jesus. I don't care about swapping sheep. Go tell somebody about Jesus. There's enough people out here dying and going to hell. We need to reach them with the gospel. Amen?
And with a heavy heart, I began to speak to her about our missions program. Man, we picked up, I don't know how many missionaries over the past couple years. We thank the Lord for that, but we need to do more. And we can do more. God's able. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. We talked about some of that, talked about many different ministries and new things to come, and bus ministry, and we can do so much more through the bus ministry and many other areas of what we're doing already. And as I began to imagine those things, God showed me something that night. I began to think about that, and God showed me something. I began to realize that there's only one thing that can make all of those things possible, that people could continue to be saved, and we could do even more with missions, do even more with the bus ministry, do even more in our seniors ministry and the ladies ministry and all those kinds of things, that there's only one way that all of that is possible. Listen, I'm for programs, but I'll tell you something, programs isn't the answer. I'm for campaigns. I'm glad we have campaigns. We'll continue to have campaigns. But campaigns in of themselves not the answer. I'm for all of those things. I love good singing groups and God honoring singing groups and that kind of thing. But that's not the answer. But I realized that night, God began to show me the only way that these things were possible, and the key to seeing all of this done, how it's been done already and will continue to be done, the key to Crossroads Baptist Church being all that God wants us to be, is somehow, some way, we're going to have to develop a heart that's on fire for God. Listen to me, friend, there's no other way. We're going to have a heart that's burning for God. And so tonight, I just want to ask you this question. I want you to be honest with yourself and ask yourself the question, simply this: do you have a burning heart? Do you have a burning heart? You see, there's a difference in doing things out of obedience or guilt than doing things out of a heart on fire for God. Oh, yes, one produces discouragement and the other one produces fruit. They're two completely different things. And God began to work in my heart, and he brought me to this passage of scripture here we read tonight. Here we see two men, and they're walking on the road to Emmaus. They're discouraged. They're distraught. They're discontent. They're downhearted. It seems that their world has just went away. It seems that their hero and their Savior has just walked away. The one that they put their trust in is gone. Jesus here, of course, the story just preceding this, Jesus has been crucified and he's been resurrected on the third day. But they don't know that. They've come to an empty sepulcher and they can't find the Lord. And they're discouraged. They don't even realize Jesus comes up and begins to walk. And I love this passage of scripture. He begins to walk with them. He begins to talk with them. And they don't even realize who it is. The Bible says in verse 16, their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And Jesus begins to ask them what's wrong and why they're so sad and why the sad countenance and all of that. They begin to explain to him how that they had been at the crucifixion there. And how they watched him be nailed to a cross. They thought he was going to be the one to come and deliver them from the oppression. They thought that he was going to be the one to set up his kingdom. And they begin to explain how they waited a certain amount of time after he was crucified. And on the third day, they turned and they headed home. They said, boy, it's been a sad, sad time. They began to talk to Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ was going to be Lord and that he was going to be king and that he was going to rule and that he was going to reign. All of our hopes was in him, but you see, he got crucified. And here we've waited around 3 days. He told us on the third day he's going to get up. That's what he said. He's going to get up on the third day. But it's the third day, and we hadn't seen him at all. So we're just going to head back home because it seems like it's all over. Can I say to you tonight, when it seems like it's all over, in reality, in God's economy, it's just beginning. Oh, yes, it will be all over one day, praise God. This earth's going to burn up. Hey, it's all going to be over. But when it is all over, we'll be walking with him and we'll be seeing him face to face. Well, what do we do until that time? Moving on through the story, Jesus is talking with them. He's fellowshipping with them. He even breaks bread, the Bible tells us, with them. And he reveals to them who he is. And I want you to notice with me verse number 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture? Tonight, for the next few moments, with the help of God, I want to see how it is tonight that these men had a heart and developed a heart that was on fire for God. Why is it tonight that some people's heart burns for God and longs for God and desires for God while other people grow cold on God? How is it, Christian, that some people, you see them 1 year and 5 years and 10 years and 20 years and they're still hot for God and there's still a passion for God, oh, and there's still a desire for God and they're still going on for God while others have quit and went out to pasture on God? What's the secret? Well, I believe the Bible gives us some of it. Look with me tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, a recipe for heartburn. A recipe for heartburn. You see, there are some ingredients that are sure to give many people heartburn. Now, I like sausage, but to be honest with you, I can't eat sausage because sausage tears me up. I like it, but I can't eat it, you know. And I know that, so if I eat it, I don't want to have heartburn. Onions, if they're not cooked all the way, it sometimes will tear me up. Almost anything, I've told you before, I think Cracker Barrel puts pepper in cereal. I mean, they put pepper in everything. You know, Cracker Barrel, I mean, I guarantee you, you can just watch the clock, and it's going to get me in a couple hours. They load everything down with pepper, man. But there's some ingredients, listen, that are certain, you can guarantee it, it's going to give you heartburn. You can bank on it. And we find these things present. There's some ingredients in your life that will make your heart begin to burn for God. There are some ingredients that we can add in our lifestyle that will get our heart on fire for God and make us have a heart for God. Number one, I want you to notice, one ingredient is there must be a presence of His Word. A presence of His Word. Listen to me. You can forget being passionate about the things of God if you're not in the Word of God. There has to be a presence of His Word. In verse number 32 again, He says, did not our heart burn within us, watch this, while He opened to us the Scripture. Oh yes, the Word of God will set you on fire when you get in God's Word. I bet it yet you let God's Word get in you. Honey, it'll cause a holy heartburn that there's nothing you can do about it. Jeremiah said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm done preaching to those stiff-necked people. I'm done preaching to those people who don't care about anything I have to say. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't care about the things of God. I'm done! Oh, but He said His Word. His Word was like a fire. Shut up in my bones, and I couldn't quit. People wonder sometimes why sometimes we get passionate, we get fired up and about preaching, and when we're preaching, we get wound up and those kinds of things. Listen, when I'm preparing to preach, the method I use is I read myself full, write myself clear, pray myself clean, and honey, if you do that, you can get in the pulpit and let yourself go because there's a heart on fire for God. I'm going to tell you where the heydays of Christianity of America have gone. I'm going to tell you where the true heart for God and their churches have gone. Let me tell you tonight where true passion for ministry is gone. Where is that spark? Where is that fire? Where is that passion? Oh, where is that burning, the desire in people's hearts? It's because, listen, people are walking into the house of God and they're hearing everything but the Word of God, and then they're walking back out of the house of God cold and indifferent, and there's no change and no different. They're not hearing the Word of God. It's the Word of God, friend. That'll set you on fire. They're hearing everything but the Word. They're hearing Time Magazine. Hey, can I tell you this? If you're saved tonight, if you have God's Word, if you're a child of God, it's God's Word that got into you. It's God's Word that changed you. It's God's Word that became real to you. It wasn't some preacher. It wasn't some missionary. It wasn't some song. Friend, if you're saved tonight and you've ever been illuminated by the power of God, it's because of the Holy Word of God, and it's God's Word that became real to you. It's God's Word that lit the fire the first time, and it'll be God's Word that lights the fire the second time. You want to burn for God? Get in His Word. We need the Word. Oh, yes. There's no substitute. That's what lights my fire. That's what gets me going. Why? Notice this. He reveals Himself to man in His Word. Look with me at verse number 27. He expounded unto them. This is Jesus here. Jesus, they're talking to Jesus, and Jesus takes the Bible, and He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, watch this, the things concerning Himself. Jesus reveals himself to me and to you in his word. In every chapter, in every book, on every page, you want to know what you find? You find Jesus. He's revealed, oh yes, in the word of God. You see, it's in his word that you really get to know him. It's in his word. Listen, Jesus said this. He said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Why? He said, because in them, they are they that testify of me. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. And they, what the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. Jesus is revealed to us in the word. It's through the word of God we get to know him. It's in his word we learn who he really is. Friend, the Bible has one central message. It's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the creator of the world. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In the Old Testament, Jesus is that coming Messiah. Oh, he's that babe in Bethlehem. He's that sacrificial lamb that would die for the sins of the world. He's that risen Savior. He's that coming King. The message of the word of God is Jesus. Hence he says, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. Jesus is revealed to us through the word of God. You want to get to know him? You want to have a heart for him? You got to get in the word. The Bible says here that he opened unto them the scriptures. He expounded unto them out of the scriptures the things concerning himself. And their heart, it says, began to burn. Friend, can I say to you, we need to see him for who he really is. Oh, listen, honey, when you start to get a picture of who he is, your heart, somebody knows what I'm talking about. When you start to get a picture of who he really is, I'm talking about where you really scoot up close to draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. When you scoot up close to him and you get his word, oh, and he begins to reveal himself and his nature and his character and his compassion and his love, and he's revealed to you who he really is. Oh, listen, you begin to bask in his glory. Can I tell you this? Your heart is going to begin to burn. He's revealed to us in the word of God. You can't help but for it to burn. Oh, you get over there in the Old Testament. He's that seed of the woman that bruised the... Glory to God. He's that seed of the woman in Genesis that would bruise the head of the serpent. Oh, yes, that's Jesus. You see him all the way back there. He's that one you pass by the tabernacle, you see on the Day of Atonement, you get a glimpse of Jesus. He's that serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm saying you walk down through the portals of glory, down through the pages of Scripture, and what you find out is Jesus is all throughout it. He's revealed in his word. See him as that serpent lifted up in the wilderness. He's the character of Joseph. He's the courage of David. He's the wisdom of Solomon. He's the power of Elijah. The underlying theme of every single book of the Bible is Jesus. He's the root of David. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the, all sung about it this morning, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my souls, and all who he is. It's revealed to us in the word of God. He opened unto them the scriptures. Revealed who he was. The Bible says their hearts begin to burn. You'll know why your heart begins to burn sometimes when you hear the teaching of the Word of God or when you hear the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, because God begins to reveal to you something about himself. You know what that spark is? You want to know what that arousal is? You want to know what that is when we open unto you the Scripture? It's God revealing himself. You're seeing him in the Word of God. God's word reveals himself to man. Secondly, God's word requires faith. You want to know what these two men's problem were? They didn't believe the word of God. Look at verse number 25. Oh, fools and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In other words, wasn't this already testified? He'll be led as a sheep to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. You knew, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? You've heard this in the word of God. In other words, he says, the thing that was wrong with these men is while they knew what God's word said, they really didn't believe what God's word said. Friend, God's word requires faith. The word had really not connected with them. But when Jesus opened up the word and he expounded, it says here, unto them all things concerning himself, oh, they begin to remember. They begin to get excited. A fire began to kindle. Their heart began to burn. I'll never forget witnessing to a lady on a service call some years ago, and I'm talking to her. It doesn't fix the problem. I'm talking to her now, and the more I talked to her, I watched her face begin to glow. Her face began to glow, and she finally said, as you're talking, everything inside of me saying, yes, yes, yes. Her heart began to burn. It wasn't me. It was the Word of God. The prophets prophesied what was going to happen to Jesus. They knew. These disciples knew the Old Testament. Isaiah said he'd be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. All that had already been told him. And Jesus says to these two men, you should have believed the word. You should have believed all the prophets had already spoken. Notice Jesus didn't show these men the prints in his hands as he did Thomas. He showed them his word. He opened up the Word of God because, friend, listen, His Word requires faith. I talk with people sometimes and then I go back and forth and back and forth, and I get to the point where, listen, I don't try to convince people anymore, because the bottom line, I tell them, listen, you're going to have to take it by faith. I can give you all kinds of theological arguments and all that kind of stuff and the historical evidence, but at the end of the day, it's faith. The Word of God requires faith. It's a matter of faith. Oh, yes. It's all a matter of faith. What we believe, it's a matter of, listen to me tonight. I've never seen the prints and the nails in his hands. I've never seen the prints of the nails in his feet. I've never seen the hole in his side. I've never seen his thorn-crowned brow. But praise God, I've seen his word. I've read his word. I've held his word. I believe his word. I trust his word. I love his word. I stand upon his word. And my heart's on fire tonight because his word. Did not our hearts burn when he opened up the scriptures? Notice verse number 21. But we trusted. Oh man, you ever been there? These disciples said, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. But we trusted. You ever been there? It didn't look to them like God had kept or would keep his word. But we trusted, Lord. Hey, listen to me. I know what it is to come down an old-fashioned altar years ago and fall on my face and say, oh, God, do you remember me? Oh, I stepped out and gave up everything. Do you remember me? That's what they said. We've trusted it would have been he which would have redeemed Israel. All of our faith was in him. Can I say to you tonight, no matter what it may look like, no matter what it may smell like, no matter what it may taste like or seem like, you can trust his word. I thank God for his word. I'm thankful you can trust his word. I'm glad sometimes in the middle of the night, God still reassures me with his word. Oh, you know about you lay there those sleepless nights and something wakes you up and something won't let you sleep. But thank God, I'm glad that the word of God moves in and you get that reassurance and that peace fills your soul. I think of old John the Baptist was locked up in prison. He had given his life to preach the gospel. Given everything to just cry out and prepare the way for the Savior. And here he is in an old, dark, dirty, dungy prison, literally facing death itself. We know later on he's beheaded for the cause of Christ. But here he's in the prison. It seemed like God had forsaken him. And John began to doubt a little bit. Oh, what a story that is. He began to doubt a little bit, and in his heart he said, well, has it been worth it all serving him? I've given my everything. And his heart, he said, has it been worth it all? And John sent one of his disciples that were there with him. He sent them back to Jesus and said, go ask him, is he still the one? Go ask him, is he the one that should come, or should we look for another? John sent one of his disciples, one of the servants, and he said, go ask Jesus, is he the Messiah? That's what he said. He sent a message. The Bible says, watch this. The Bible says that Jesus sent a message back to John. Oh, I thank God for some messages that Jesus has sent along the way in my life. Oh, times when my heart was hurting. Times when my soul was distraught. Oh, when my mind was wondering. God didn't forget where I was. God remembered who I was. He sent a message. Some man of God got up and unloaded on me what the Holy Ghost unloaded on him. And it had hope and it had help because of the message. Bible says that he sent a message to John. Go ask him, go tell him that the blind can hear. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, and the dumb can speak. You see, that was messianic miracles the Messiah would perform. Jesus had performed them all. He said, "Go." I'm glad he didn't go tell them, "Well, listen, John's doubted me, buddy. He can forget it. He'll be in hell." Ain't what he said. Matter of fact, friend, let me tell you this. While John the Baptist was doubting Christ, and while he was thinking the worst about Christ, that's the exact time. Look in your Bible and you'll find out that's the exact time that Jesus was telling his disciples, "There's no greater man born of woman than John." That's a merciful God. That's a long-suffering God that we have. The very time that John's doubting, maybe he's not the one. He says, "Has it all been in vain?" He said, "Go tell him, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, and the lame walk." We got to have faith in his word. One ingredient we must have for heartburn or for our heart to burn is the presence of his word. I want to say another thing. If we're going to have a heart that burns for God, not only we have to have a presence of his word, but we have to have a personal walk. We mentioned just briefly on this a little bit this morning. Notice with me here in verse number 15 back in our text, chapter 24. The Bible says this, watch this. "And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus drew near," and watch these words, "and went with them." Verse number 32, "They said, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us by the way?" Jesus went with them, and then he talked with them, and he walked with them, and then the Bible says their heart began to burn. Oh, listen, a burning heart requires a personal walk with the Savior. He just got out of the grave. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a risen Savior? That walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. One who wants to spend time with us. One who wants to listen to all of our troubles and all of our problems and help in all of our needs. He walks with us and talks with us. My God wants to fellowship personally with us. Oh, he's just coming to me. "All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Come to me, call to me." He wants to spend time with us. We have a Savior that loves us. Verse number 28, look at it. 29. Bible says here, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further." Jesus acted like he's going to keep going through the village while they stop. "But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Now understand, they still didn't know who he was. They still didn't know this is the Savior of the world. This is Jesus who we've been waiting on to come back from the dead. They still didn't know. But listen to me, there was just something about walking with him. They said, "Abide with us." There was something about talking with him. They didn't want the walk to end. They didn't want the fellowship to end. They didn't want the Bible study to end. Their heart was on fire for more. Abide with us. Friend, can I tell you this? If your heart doesn't burn to spend time with the lovely Son of God, it's because you've never spent time with him before. Because, honey, if you ever spend time with him, if you ever commune with him, if you ever fellowship with him, there'll be a desire, there'll be a fire, there'll be a yearning, there'll be a burning, there'll be a heart that burns for God. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand the Muslims that kill people supposedly for their God and have a dead God. They can't talk with him. They can't walk with him. They can't pray to him. They can pray to a dead God. They can't fellowship with him. He's still in the grave. And they know he's still in the grave. Yet they find enough passion. They find enough allegiance in themselves to kill and to maim and to harm for a God that's dead. Yet we Christians have a hard time staying fueled up and staying fired up and remaining faithful to God and remaining alive for a God that's alive for us, that walks with us and talks with us and spends time with us and fellowships with us. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor." And it looks like we ought to be able to keep some kind of fire going for him. A recipe for a burning heart. I want you to notice the second thing. The results of a burning heart. I want you to think about this. The thing that causes heartburn, most of you, many of you know this by experience, the thing that causes heartburn is too much acid. Having too much, you get heartburn, your stomach's full of acid. That stomach gets come up your esophagus, and when your stomach gets filled with acid, it can't hold any more. Then that acid starts overflowing, and that heart starts burning. And when you get so full, can I say to you, of the Word of God, and from walking with God, and from being with God, you can't help it, friend. It's going to start overflowing. I like what the songwriter said. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Oh, yes. You get to a place where it's going to come up. You're going to have a holy heartburn. When we do God's work out of a heart that's overflowing from the presence of His Word, because of a heart that's overflowing from a personal walk, it'll be different. We'll serve different. There'll be a different passion. Look with me at verse number 33. The Bible says this, and they rose up. He's just revealed to us, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." Friend, when yours, He's alive. They went to Jerusalem, they found the other 11. Oh, listen, there's some passion about them now. And they go and they say, "The Lord has risen. He's alive. He's risen indeed." Listen, when your heart starts to overflow with Him, it'll take a mourner and it'll make a missionary out of him. Before Jesus went and came along, these men, they were having a bad day. You ever had a bad day? These men, they were having a bad day. They were having a time. They were struggling throughout the day. They felt like they'd lost their best friend. They felt like they'd lost the one that they had all their hopes in. They were having a horrible day. But watch this. After they walked with Him for a while. Woo! After they talked with Him for a while. Somebody better help me. I can clear this pulpit. After they listened to me. After they spent some time with Him. That, listen, the worst day of their life. He's alive. Amen. You ever been there? They got to tell somebody about Him. They returned to Jerusalem. They were discouraged, but now they're encouraged. They had given up, but praise God, now they can't shut up. When your heart, listen, gets on fire for God, it'll turn you around. You'll be different. I'm glad if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Prayer that saves a man changes a man. We've got Operation Go next week. I had mentioned it in the announcements, but I'm mentioning it now. Operation Go next week. We're going to just get ready for the VBS. We go out on Saturday. We'll meet at, we go meet at 10 o'clock. Excuse me, meet at 9 o'clock. We leave about 10 o'clock. So 9 o'clock, breakfast Saturday. We do a big breakfast. We always have a good crowd, go out. But, you know, nobody has to browbeat you to come to visitation when you get a heart that's overflowing for God. They couldn't hold back. They ran and they go back to Jerusalem. They gather the 11 together and say, "Hey, you got to know something. He's alive." Amen. The whole world needs to know that.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Your friends need to know that. Your family needs to know that. Your co-workers need to know that. You get a heart for God. You listen, the reason that we struggle so much is because we're working out of a cold heart instead of working out of a hot heart. Listen to me. The Bible says if the blade be dull, if the axe be dull, you better wet the edge. Because if you don't wet the edge, you're going to have to keep putting forth more force and swinging harder and harder and harder. It's not work. When your heart's overflowing, you're just working off of the overflow. Something's got to happen to give me a greater burden. Something's got to happen to give you a greater burden and to get us more serious about this thing. And nothing can, you say, "Preacher, what's wrong, man? We've grown in leaps and bounds and all the great things." Listen, I'm just telling you, I know. Did not our hearts burn within us? Makes a difference. Something's got to happen. Nothing can do that like having a heart for God. like. You see, until we get to the place where we want what he wants for us more than we want what we want for us, ain't much gonna happen. John Wesley was asked what the secret to his ministry was. He said this. He said, I'll tell you, he said, I've asked God to set me on fire so people could come and watch me burn. Amen. You know, my desire is tonight that God would set somebody on fire. Oh, D.L. Moody said years ago that the world's yet to see what God could do with one man that's totally surrendered to his cause. He said, he went on, he said, by God's will, I'll be, or by God's grace, I'll be that man. And went over 1 million souls to Christ at his deathbed. He said, the world's still yet to see what God could do with one person, one man. Oh, the eyes of the Lord still run to and fro throughout the whole earth to prove himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Why don't you come tonight and ask God to set you on fire? But you see, you need to understand there's a recipe. The presence of his word. A personal walk. And you got to follow the recipe if you want to see the results. Do you have a burning heart? Did you know the Bible commands us to have one? Jesus said, I'll preach some time on things that make God sick. Revelations. He said, you were neither hot nor cold, so I spewed you out of my mouth. He threw up. Make God weak. Listen, weak. Listen to me. I'm talking about impotent, weak, cold Christians. Makes God puke. That's what he said. Let me read to you something. Leviticus chapter 6, verse number 12 and 13. Many of you understand the book of Leviticus and what it is and the laws and all the rules for the tabernacle and the design and all that that took place. It's what was being done in Leviticus. Says here in chapter 6, verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. They're talking about in the temple here. And lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn there on the fat of the peace offerings. Listen to this. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Who knows your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? This is our temple. Fire's not supposed to ever go out, friend. Do you have a burning heart? If so, what's it burning for? Things of the world or things for God? Oh, how we need a burden. Can I say to you tonight while we stand, those that have a burden will already be at this altar. And if you don't have a burden tonight, you ought to come and ask God to give you one. Start with remembering the pit that God drug you out of. We become so comfortable and complacent in our salvation, and sometimes we got to come and say, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire. Start by, the Bible says, he that lacketh these things, Peter said, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Have you forgotten the pit God drug you out of? Those who die without Christ still wake up in a devil's hell. God, help me to care about that. Help me to be concerned with that when it comes to my family members. Did not our hearts burn within us? I have time for lukewarm Christianity. We got to work while it's day. Amen. Hey, if God spoke to you, why don't you come tonight and do business with the Lord?
Hymn 322.
While we sing, why don't you come?